Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Apostle Darian House. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Season 3 of Real Talk with Darian A. House. We are excited to be back tonight to just discuss real issues and to talk about real issues that are happening within the body of Christ. Please grab a friend, grab a neighbor, grab an enemy, a frenemy, and let them know that we're on live right now to talk about real issues that's happening in the body of Christ. The discussion that we'll have tonight is, why has the church lost the trust of the people? Tonight I have with me Bishop Chris Chamberlain, as well as I have Elder Beverly Griffin. Bishop Chris Chamberlain, how are you this evening? Bishop, are you there?
Yes, praise the Lord.
How are you this evening?
I am great this evening. How about yourself?
I'm wonderful. Good. Elder Beverly Griffin, are you there?
I'm here, Apostle House. I am here.
How are you?
I'm blessed. I am blessed, sir.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. We want to jump right in to the discussion, for we know that when we start talking about all of this wonderful stuff, that time flies. So we want to jump right into the discussion about this trust factor that, you know, we have lost, we, the church. And I want to talk first from the standpoint of leadership and how leadership has lost the trust of the people. Bishop, from pastoring and from being the pastor of the church, how do you see where leadership has erred and lost the trust of the people?
I see that the leaders, we've lost the trust because the people see us doing things, and when they see you not living that life that that you preach about, then what happens is they become like you, and so they lose trust in you, in your words. They lose trust in God's word because you are the example, and by you being the example, people are following you. And so if they can't mm-hmm. see no fruit from your labor, then they will not follow you. You know, you have to,
wow.
I have to see something in order for me to want to follow you. And I feel that the church, we've lost that as leaders. We've lost that because we're trying to gain friends and be famous and popular. But in this day and age, that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to be who we are. And because we were trying to be popular or be somebody that we're not, then we're losing the trust of the people. They
wow.
have to trust us. If we're going to say that God is good and God made a way for me, well, then we need to show the people. We need to show them that God has made a way. Don't just talk it. Show them. And that's why people lose trust. And then there's one more thing, and then I'll let Evangelist talk there. But here's another thing. We have to stop proper lying to the people because a lot of us want to proper lie, cars, houses, land, fame, and fortune, but God is wanting you to get right. He wants you to get right. He wants you to give your life to him instead of popularity. So we have lost the trust in the people, not just on a local level, but a global level.
Wow. So you're saying before you can gain, there has to be order gained first in your life before
yes.
you go trying to gain this and gain that. You need to first gain order.
Yes, sir.
You must
gain order. And one of the things that I teach at Greater Love Ministries, one of the things that I teach there at Greater Love is that first thing is order, because God does things decent and in order. So the first thing that I teach at Greater Love Ministries, in order for me to love you, there has to be some order there. And in order for me to trust you as the leader, Bishop, then there has to be a standard of order. And a lot of people don't want order. We want an itchy word.
Mm.
And an itchy word will pass
wow.
away. An itchy word
wow.
will pass away. Glory to God. But the word of God will last and stand forever.
Amen.
And I think, and again, you know, I think that, you know, we have made this thing so much about us, you know, what I'm going through, my feelings. You know, we made it so much about my children. We made it so much about my church. We made it so much about, and people are losing trust because they don't see any signs. The scripture clearly says that the signs and wonders, come on, shall follow them that believe. The scripture, it clearly says that. So if I'm a believer and I'm a leader, guess what? I should have some signs follow me. I should have some words following me.
Mm-hmm. That's
and if,
right.
there, if it is not there, then we lose the trust.
Wow.
Amen.
Elder Beverly, come on, you got to jump in on this. What do you see going on here with this trust factor and the church?
And Apostle House Bishop hit on it a little bit because you can't be my friend and then
be
my spiritual mother. And then you overlook my shortcomings or I overlook your shortcomings. You know, the word of God says, you know, you don't let your good be even spoken of.
Mm.
So the same life that you live in the church house, you also need to live that life at home. And when you become friends with people or friends with your leader, then you get to see a lot of what they do at home versus what they do at church. So it's like the person at this point is straddling the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the word of God said, choose who this day whom you will serve. You know, we can't serve two masters. We're either going to be saved today or not saved. But we can't serve two. And it's, like I said, just becoming friends with people. And then you begin to pacify to me the word of God. No, give me what's going to help me. Give me the word of God, what's going to keep me. Because that's what I need.
Right.
Oh, yes.
I don't need a pat on the back when I fell down. But I want you to be that spiritual person that you are supposed to be for me in my life. That when I'm wrong, then I'm corrected. I'm rebuked. But a lot of, because people want numbers, the pastors want the big mega churches, that they're overlooking all of this.
That's right.
And it's okay that you fail today. You know, no, it's not okay, because that's contrary to the word of God.
That's good.
Right.
It's contrary to the word of God. So we have to be able to separate that, hey, I'm going to give you, and I'm going to give it to you until it hurts. Because some of us as Christians, that's what we need. Some of us as sanctified Holy Ghost-filled saints, that's what we need. We don't need to be pacified. We don't need to be pat on the back. We need to be rebuked when it's time to be rebuked.
That's it.
We need to be corrected when it's time to be corrected. We need to be put on silent if it's time for us to be put on silent. But because people don't want to lose members,
mm-hmm.
then they begin to lose the respect for the people because they allow things to filtrate throughout the ministry. And that's
wow.
not of God. That's not of God.
Wow. Wow. So in essence, people have lost respect for leadership, okay? So the respect level has gone down, right? Not just
Amen.
The people for leadership, but leadership for the people. Because in order for me to lead properly, I have to have some form of respect for you as well. Is that right? Is
Amen.
That what I'm hearing you say?
Right.
In order for me to be a leader and to lead properly, I have to also respect the sheep. Bishop, can you give me, can you elaborate on that?
Well, I would say it like this right here. One of the things that we have to remember as leaders and we're over the flock is that the sheep truly, they don't belong to us. They belong mm-hmm. to God. So what we have to remember, is we are to lead those sheep in the direction that God wants us to lead them in. So in other words, let's just put the cards on the table. Every leader needs a prayer life. Every leader,
mm-hmm.
let me just go on and just be real. Every leader needs the Holy Ghost. And if
mm-hmm.
if that leader does not have the Holy Ghost, he's not going to be able to hear God to lead those people in the direction that God is speaking for them, for him to lead them in. Okay? Because
right.
the thing about it is a sheep, and you know how David talked about the sheep. A sheep is a dumb animal, and a sheep has
yes.
to be led around. And every now and then, that sheep gets out of the fold, and that shepherd has to use the rod to bring the sheep back in place. Well, how can you use your rod if you jacked up yourself? You can't hear God.
Right.
You cannot hear God in which direction to go. So what do you have? You have a bunch of sheep that's going what? Astray because, like Evangelist said, because we want to gain friends. A shepherd cannot be a sheep if he's a true shepherd.
Right.
He cannot be a sheep. In other words, I can't be friends with you so to a place where I can't father you. I can't pastor you. And I think that is the point where we're losing respect. That is the point we're losing respect. You hit it, Evangelist. You hit it because there's too much buddy-buddy. There's too much buddy-buddy. And there's not enough people who are getting fed the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
One of the hardest things that I had to do and this past Sunday, I had to set all of my musicians. And see, this is I know God is in this because I had to sit all of my musicians on the front row. I had to sit all of my deacons on the front row. Had to sit the whole church in the audience. And I'm a bearer as well, and say, you're going to get this today. And what you're going to get today is, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to be able to see the kingdom. As that leader, I had to distance myself and give them the truth.
Right.
And I think that's
right.
where the division is coming in.
Wow. And the truth is something that is so scarce today that it's scary.
Yes, yes.
The truth is so scarce that it's scary. And it's so to the place today that people would rather hear a lie before
yes.
they hear the truth.
The truth.
That a lot of pastors today have been scared into telling a lie. Because they understand that if I tell the truth, my congregation is going to almost happen, or
they're
I'm not going to have anybody in the church. But you've got to get to a place that you understand that it doesn't matter how many people I have in the congregation. What matters is that I please God.
That's true.
Those that are supposed to be here are going to be here, but
Amen.
I got to please God. I've got to please God. So I want to move on to another part of this conversation that is very, very, very important. And that is this part of the conversation is going to have to be a part two, because this dynamic of the conversation is gonna explode, and it's gonna explode because a lot of it is happening in the body of Christ today, and that is leaders that cannot be trusted. This is part of the reason why I hear a lot of people who they don't trust leadership, they don't trust the church, they don't trust talking to leaders. They don't trust coming to leaders with issues. They don't trust coming to the church with their issues. They don't trust coming to even congregants with their issues, because I don't trust those people. I don't trust them because they're messy and they're petty. All right?
Yes.
Elder Beverly, I want you to take this first, and then we're going to go to Bishop. This is huge in the body of Christ, and the church has gotten very, very bad about this. And 2016 is the time that we got to clean this up. We really got to clean it up, because if we don't, we're going to lose a lot of souls.
We're going to lose them.
Amen.
We're going to turn a lot of people away from God, because people are losing that. What the bigger picture here is that people are not just losing their trust for people in the church. They're losing trust in God.
In God.
People are walking away
from the
church saying Jesus is not real.
Come on.
People are walking away saying God is not real because of the decisions that people are making that represent God.
Yes.
So, Elder Beverly, what do you have to say on this level of the conversation, this place?
In these last days, we must, I mean, it's essential that we must be careful who we allow in our life, you know, because you got some that's there for good reasons. You have some that's there that has an ulterior motive. You have some to simply try to come into your life or in your life to destroy you. And I've often heard my pastor say that everybody that's praying for you is not praying for you. They are actually praying against you. And everybody that you feel is there for you, they are not there for you. So I would hear him say that all the time. You know, he said there are people literally in your life to destroy you. And at that point, I didn't understand that, because I'm like, okay, God, just looking at my circle, I had good people that I thought. Just because everybody's saying that they for you, You just have to be careful. I'm serious, because people will literally destroy you. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter how strong you are, because the very elect can be fooled. The very elect can be destroyed. So one thing, we must not put our trust in men, but then we also need to be careful who we allow in our life. And, you know, being a woman of God and being a man of God, you know, we try not to separate ourselves. And, you know, because then at that point, then, you know, we think we are better than everybody else. Or she thinks she's better than some, you know, than the next person. And it's not that. At some point in our life, we have to guard our heart. And the minute that you let that guard down, that's when the devil, and just, we must know the tactics of the enemy.
Wow.
You must know the tactics of the enemy, because the word of God says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And, you know, for a long time he came and he did steal.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the longest time he came to kill. But he was never successful in that. But at this point, when it is leaders that you are hurt or you are impacted upon, then that's when the devastation comes, because you don't look for that in leaders. You don't look for that for men and women of God, of higher calling. You don't expect that from them. So that's why it is so devastating. And at that point, it will literally destroy you, because those are the very people that you look up to that you would never think would be the ones to do it. So I would encourage people, and I would tell people, be careful who you let in your life. And our heart is our heart, and we have every right to protect it. Because to be hurt and to be let down, oh, my God. I mean, like I said, because the strongest person can be destroyed if they allow themselves to be destroyed. So just, you can't trust everybody. Everybody's not to be trusted. They can hee-hee and they're ha-ha in your face, but they are still not to be trusted. And I often tell people, know them that labor among you. And that's just not in the ministry, but people that walk with you on a daily basis. You got to know those people. If you're working with them on a daily basis, know those people.
Right.
Because the very let can be fooled.
Yes, the very elect, and people of God, you have to hear this, that you can't get, I tell people all the time, don't get so saved that you think that you can't touch it. Don't get so saved that you think that you can get so comfortable that you can't be touched or you can't be tried by people that you think is on your team.
Amen.
Because everything that's crying holy, that's raising their hands right next to you, ain't necessarily holy.
You better talk about it.
We need to understand that there are some people that's right in the sanctuary with us, that's right in leadership with us, that's not in the same places that we are in, that they are not living like we're living, and they're not even in the same place that we're in spiritually. We need to understand this. We need to know this, and we need to be aware of this, and we need to do what the Bible tells us to do, and that is guard our heart.
Yes. Yes.
Guard your heart. All right? The Bible also tells us, and I wanted to bring this up in this conversation, and then we're going to go on to some of the questions that I'm receiving. The Bible also tells us in the Word of God, trust no man.
No man.
The Word of the Lord tells us to trust no man. He tells us to put our trust only in God. Only in God do we put our trust. So that means that how do you trust a man? You trust him through God. Okay?
Amen.
One of the questions I got was, how do you restore trust back into Christian leadership / church leaders? Bishop, answer that for me.
Well,
I
wanted to, if you'll give me just a second, I want to kind of take the conversation to the question, the first question that you asked, and I do agree with Evangelist Beverly there. I do agree with you on everything that you said, and I want to kind of to take that question, and then I'll go back and answer that one for you, Apostle. But let me interject right here and say that how can a leader be effective when he's dealing with his own issues?
Mm.
He's dealing with, see, the problem, the reason why you have so many people that would say, oh, well, I can't trust my pastor, I can't trust this person, is because of that leader is going through some issues in his or her own life, and they have not dealt with them. And what's happening is it's passing down to their members.
Amen.
It's passing down to their members, and what's happening is the trust level is decreasing, and people want to leave the church because that pastor needs to deal with their own issues. We are sometimes so proud, we also have that proud, arrogant spirit about us that we're the pastor, we're the bishop, or we're the apostle, or we're the evangelist, and basically our members can't tell us anything, or people can't tell us anything, or I don't want to receive a word from you. And we have that attitude that God only speaks to me. But at the end of the day, when you go home, you're still a homosexual. When you go home, you're still a lesbian. When you go home, you're still an adulteress. When you go home, you're still a gambler. You're still a cusser. You're still doing the same thing. So when you went to that church and laid hands on those people, all you did was transfer your demons into
Come
them.
On.
That's right.
And what happens is now you want the church to trust you. How can the church ever trust you when you have not yet dealt with your own issues? You're still cussing your wife out. You're still dogging your members out. You're still begging and robbing pieces of PayPal. If you broke, how in the world you expect your church to be rich? Come on, the blessing flows from the head down. Nobody wants to hear me. The blessing flows from the head down. It don't flow
That's
from
true.
The feet up. And you have to be careful because leaders, I'm telling you, it's important that leaders come to grip with who they are and not what society has told them they should be. We have
That's
this
right.
dressed-up mentality, man. We have this dressed-up mentality. We got church down packed. We got our sermon down packed. We got our suit. We got our shoes. We got our layout. We got everything down packed except our issues. And until we become face-to-face with our own issues, we can't help our church. We cannot help them. You know what?
That's
Here's
right.
the thing. I never like to hear preachers beat up on church people. Oh, y'all this, y'all that, you guys this, you guys that. I hate to hear people beat up on the church. And let me tell you something, because at the end of the day, I'm in the same boat they are in. I'm
right.
in the same boat. The only difference is I'm carrying a title. And one thing about
right.
it, a title don't make me, I make the title.
Right.
And I think, Apostle, once pastors, bishops, prophets, whoever you want to be, come real with who you are and dissect, this is what I need help in. There's no harm in saying, you know what, this is what I need help in. This is the area that I need growth in. I need help right here. And it's okay to go to the apostle and say, I need help. You know, it's all right to go to the bishop and say, I'm messed up. It's all right to, and see, we have to have, as leaders, and we have to have spiritual coverings or spiritual fathers or mothers in the gospel that's able to say, come on, sit down and tell me all about it. Because there are
That's
things
right.
that you go through that you hide behind. Pastors and ministers, we are hiding behind the closet.
Yes.
And because we hide behind the closet, your members are hiding behind the closet, and they do not trust you. They will not trust
yeah.
you because they know what you're doing. They know your life ain't lining up. Why would I follow
Amen.
Somebody? Why would I follow somebody that don't have no more than me?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Why would I run with somebody who don't even pray? Come on. You my leader, but if I ask you to pray for me, you'll say, I'll pray when I get home. No, you stop right there and you pray. You're hiding
yeah.
behind your own issues, and God wants to free these leaders up. And I'm just being honest
That's
with you.
Right.
One of the things I love about you, Apostle, and I just put the call, you are very open. You're very real with who you are, and I love that because there's a lot of people say, oh, he's just crazy. No, he's not crazy. He's reaching people. That's the
Amen.
Way you
yeah.
reach people. That's the way you pull your church back. You get out your suit and your tie, and you get down with the people and say, hey, you know what? I'm jacked up just like you, but we're going to get through this together. We're gonna get
right.
through this together. We're going to work through it together and learn how to shut your mouth. If your members
yeah.
come to you with a situation, shut your mouth. It is not
Talk
everybody's business what that member has told you. It's not their business. It's your job as a leader to have a security, have a security system.
Come on.
Oh, my God. And once you have a security system, which means that you're going to keep your mouth closed and that whatever they tell you is sacred and secure, those two S's, sacred and secure, guess what? Then they will begin to build that trust back into you.
Yes.
That's right. Shut your mouth. Sacred and secure.
Yes.
And this is what the trust issue is. The trust issue really is a thing of there's no security. There is no, you know, and this is why a lot of marriages have broke up, you know. And I'm just going to talk about it while I'm here. Have broke up because young ladies have gone to their pastors and talked to their pastors, and their pastors have used their issues to go with the young ladies because they're in their emotions. Pastors have used those issues to have sex with the young ladies because they're emotional. That's not what we should be doing as leaders. That creates a trust issue. Now you have a husband who does not trust, he doesn't just not trust this pastor, but he doesn't trust a pastor, period. Because
Amen.
Now he says all pastors are hoish. So it puts all leaders in a bad situation.
Amen.
Not just that one particular leader. So we have to really, really, really understand that when one leader steps out of place and do something that we shouldn't do, we put all leaders in a bad position.
It
affects everybody, not just that one particular leader. And Bishop, I so appreciate you because, you know, I don't know, a lot of people say I'm crazy, but I don't know any other way. I don't know how to be fake and phony. I don't know how to do that, and I'm not going to learn how to do it. I don't know how to sit up and tell people that I've been saved all my life. I haven't been saved all my life. And I've done some crazy stuff, and I'm going to talk about it because somebody else needs to know that God kept me through that crazy stuff and
come
he'll
on
keep
now.
You. But don't come just on. Keep doing that crazy stuff because you can frustrate grace.
That's right.
You know.
Apostle, let me say this, Apostle, if you don't mind. One of the things I remember growing up, evangelist, I remember growing up and I first got into the ministry and I was young and my mom said these words to me because I was being me, laughing and enjoying life and you know, and just clowning like I do. And my mom said something to me. She said, Chris, she said, preachers don't act like you.
Wow.
She said, Chris, preachers don't act like you. And so I said, how do preachers act? And at the time, my cousins had 2-3 cousins that were in the ministry. And she said, you see how they act. That's the way you're supposed to act. And so I did, man. I changed myself. I started walking around. I started, God bless you, and everything had to be so on a spiritual high. And one day I was riding down the highway. I never will forget this. Out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Chris, you are on your way to hell. Look, I said, oh my, why am I on my way to hell when I'm a preacher? Because you are being somebody that you're
other
not.
Other than you.
You are going to let tradition take you to hell because you are being somebody that you're not. And like you said, Apostle, we have a lot of leaders who are trying to play that role, but behind closed doors, they're not them.
Right. Right. And it's, I find that it's easier to simply be yourself.
Be yourself.
It's easier to simply be yourself. And so we want to try to address some of the questions. Bishop done took off, and that's what I wanted to happen. And so
I'm
excited about that. he done took off, and that's what we wanted to happen. So before we get to the questions, what I'm going to do is take a little small break, and we're going to just give you a little music tonight. Hit up a friend, a neighbor, an enemy, a frenemy, and let them know that we are live, and we're coming back to get some of the questions in the second half and to take the questions, take the conversation just a little further. Don't you move. stay right where you are, and we will be right back. Thank you so much for staying right where you are. And welcome back, and welcome to all of you that have joined us while on our break to come into this conversation to talk about such a wonderful topic. Why has the church lost the trust of the people? I have such wonderful guests tonight who have given such insight and wisdom. Bishop Chamberlain, a brother, a friend, a pal, as well as my sister, my buddy, Elder Beverly Griffin, who has just given such wonderful wisdom tonight concerning trust and trust issues in the church, and why, you know, we just really, really have to restore it. We want to go into some of the questions now, as well as we'll go further into this conversation. One of the things I want to do prior to getting back into the conversation is hit this one question, and that is, how do you restore trust back into the Christian, back into Christian leadership / church leaders? Bishop, hit that for me, and then we'll go to Elder Griffin. How do you restore trust back to Christian leadership / church leaders?
I think that in order for us to restore it back to the Christian is that I think we're going to have to seek the Lord and get the guidance as of where you should be for as your leader. Is this the right place for me? You know, because some places that you're in, it's not the right place for you. And so sometimes God will, he will allow you to serve in that particular place just for that season. And having to say that, you have to know when your season is up. You have to know when that season is gone. And so to restore that for the Christians, you got to make sure that where you are, God planted you. Okay? You have to make sure that God planted you where you are. And if he didn't plant you there, then you need to ask him to give you directions, because every leader is not your leader. Ooh. Every leader is not your leader.
Amen.
See, there are some people who I know for definitely I cannot father them, I cannot pastor them, and they can never be a member for me. I know that. Well, Bishop, why would you say that? It's because first of all, we're on two different pages. Where I am, they're not trying to be. So as a Christian, to restore it back, you're going to have to pray and seek God as of your direction, as of where he wants you to be. You know, because if you're out of his will where you are, then you will never be restored. For as the leaders, our pastors, and then again, for as our leaders are staying with you, we have to make sure that that is your calling. You have to make sure that I'm a bishop. I'm Bishop Chris Chamberlain. I know who I am. I know that's my calling. I know what I'm assigned to do. So the question is, if you are a leader, do you know your position? Do you know what you're assigned to do? Do you know this is the area that God has taken me in? And if this is not, then you need to exit and do what God has told you to do from the jump.
Come on.
And I think in order for you to even the leader to be restored, he has to know his place and he has to know his position. See, place and position is two different things.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So, you know, you have to know your place and you have to know your position. And if you don't know those things, then guess what? You nor the body will ever be restored.
Right. Wow. Your place and your position. You got to know those two things. Elder Beverly, anything?
I'm just going to elaborate a little bit on Bishop Chamberlain, and it will require much prayer.
Much prayer.
And much prayer.
because sometimes when we lose the respect or of the leaders, you know, sometimes in the trust issues not being there, then that comes to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with hurt, it comes to bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
With the bitterness, it comes to hatred. And you never mm-hmm. wanted to get to that point. And I'm glad that he said that, because sometimes God has already told us that, hey, your season here is already up.
It's up.
Now, some places you are to be there for the duration of how long God wants you there. Sometimes your season is up when God said it's up, but then you don't hear the voice of God. Then you're like, oh, no, God, I want to be right here. So that's when God allowed things to begin to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much a wake-up call for you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he allowed you to see the things that he wants you to see. Because sometimes
mm-hmm.
we don't move when God say move. And then
mm-hmm.
by us staying there, then, like I said, then the hurt comes. And after the hurt comes, then it's the bitterness. And, you know, you never
mm-hmm.
want to get to that place to where, because at the end of the day, because that leader is who he or she says she is, or that he or she says that God has called them to be, we still got to respect them.
Mm-hmm.
We still got to respect them. But then if you see that you're about to lose respect for that person, at that time, it is time for the separation to come. Because God said, I'm a decent and in order God. And everything that he does, he's decent and in order.
Right.
So at that point, we still have to respect that person, even though we have lost respect, but we still got to respect them for the calling that's on their life.
Wow.
Right.
And if you see that that's not going to happen, then, okay, God, it's time for me or you to remove me out of this situation, because you don't want the hurt and you don't want the bitterness and you don't want the hatred to come, because then you're going to begin to operate in your flesh.
Wow.
Be mindful. We
wow.
We dealing with the spirit, so we got to deal it in the spirit realm, because you never want to get out of character. You never want anybody to allow you to get out of character. So you still have to
right.
handle it in the spirit realm.
Wow.
Right.
So like I said, before the bitterness and the hatred, and I mean, because it will happen. It can happen. And before
yeah.
that comes, then we need to separate.
Wow.
But to, and it will be hard. You know, I mean, because God said we have to do it, then it's a must that we must do it. But for me, it's going to require much prayer.
Much prayer.
Much, much prayer.
Yes.
Much prayer.
Well, Apostle, can I
yes.
add something real quickly, if you don't
yes.
mind? Let me
Come
add
on.
This real quickly. I just heard this. And I was just sitting here, and it just dawned on me. A lot of people... members are in the ministry, or in the church, or as a member, is it really out of respect, or is it out of obedience? Is it out of the fact that I respect you, or is it the fact that I'm going to obey you? See, that's
or is it out of respect, Bishop, or is it out of the fact that my grandmama help
yeah, right.
put this brick on the corner.
Right, right, right.
Or my grandmama paid for this pew.
Or out of pity.
So come on.
And so you would never get restoration. Hey, mama, you would never get restoration out of that, because God is not in it. You're doing it
That's
just
right.
to make somebody else happy. So in order for the body to be restored back to the place that God needs or intended for it to be from the original jump, then we have to know, am I at this ministry out of obedience or out of pity or out of respect? Why am I here?
Yeah,
why am I associated with this? What
right.
purpose? What purpose is it serving for me? Evangelist said
yeah.
a powerful thing. She said, now... it turns into bitterness, and then it begins to be hate. Then you have to really understand, why am I really there?
Right.
I need restoration. I need to be restored. Do you remember in the script? Okay, go ahead, Apostle.
No, and then another thing that came to my mind, and I'm going to go back to you so you can get that out. But another thing that came to my mind while she was talking was, in the leader aspect, a lot of leaders are in churches simply because there's a position. But
there's
is that
position.
Where you're supposed to be leading?
Wow.
Is that the actual church that you're supposed to be at leading?
Wow.
Are you at the wrong location leading? Mm-hmm. Is that why you are with the wrong attitude? Because you're not in the proper place? You're in the right position, but in the wrong location?
That's good.
See, these are things that, you know, we don't think about as people. We're not always praying about things. A lot of times we are simply wanting to accept a position, but not really realizing that the position is there, but is that the right location? Am I in the right location? That might be the position that I'm supposed to have, but that might not be the location I'm supposed to be in.
Wow.
And so what I end up doing is messing up somebody's life. Because I'm in the wrong location, and so I don't have the grace to deal with what's at this location. Go ahead, Bishop. Say what you were going to say.
I was just thinking. Do you? We talk about restoration. One of the scriptures that comes to mind is when Jesus go by and he healed this man whose hand had been withered, and and his hand was closed, and Jesus walked by to restore his hand. And when I look at this scripture, it brings me to the fivefold ministry. He's wanting to restore the body again, but there has to be somebody willing to let him restore it. There has to be leaders. There has to be apostles and evangelists and prophets and teachers and pastors who's willing to allow Jesus to come by and touch your hand and make your hand whole again, to restore you, to restore the body. There has to be a releasing of new anointing, fresh anointing, because the old anointing has passed on. And I feel in my spirit that it's time that we as a body seek God for the new anointing that he wants to release to the body, so that the hand may be restored again. The hand needs to be restored. You got leaders that's broken. You got members that's broken. People in the communities are broken, battered, beaten, bruised, all because somebody could not deal with their issue. And all God wants to do is to restore you again.
Yeah.
All God wants to do is restore. He's not looking for a fame and fortune. He wants to restore. He wants you to deal with your issues. He wants you to deal with your problems, your situation, and lay it out on the table. The scripture says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Bring it to him. Let him restore that hand. That hand is powerful. You think about what you can do when your hand is open. But when your hand is closed, you can't do anything but make a fist. But when your hand is open, look at the things you could do. You could cook. You could play the piano. You can catch a ball. I mean, what? You can lay hands up on the sick. The hand has to be restored. And I see that so prophetically, that God wants to restore the body, but he needs somebody that's willing to receive the fresh anointing that's about to hit. And I'm going to say that, and I'm going to be done, because I see God is about to shift the body, And like we're having this discussion tonight, because now once you know better, we're going to do better. And I see God shifting the body to a whole new realm. God has not changed. Huh. But the anointing is
and shifting. Apostle, and I want to say this, because when Bishop was talking about the restoration and being restored, that's why it is so imperative that leaders get in their places.
Yes.
And whatever position that they are supposed to be in.
Yes.
And making sure that their lives lined up or line up with what they're preaching about.
Right.
What they're preaching about. They got to walk this thing on a daily basis. They got to talk it, because still dealing with the trust issues of leaders. If we don't believe in our leaders, then we're not going to believe that God can restore us back, because if the leaders are not in place and doing what they're supposed to do and making sure that, you know, the trust issues are with them are intact, that we can be able to come to God and be restored.
Yeah.
That's why it's imperative that the leaders quit trying to tear people down and beat people down. And, you know, I mean, just you want to make it about competition in the church. There's no competition in church.
There's no competition.
No competition in church. The Word of God said, your gift will make room for you.
That's right.
So it shouldn't be any competition, and that's what happens with leaders. They get with this person, and they want to get with this person, and they talking about that person, and you know, well, I'm going to put you in a position if you do this. You know, I'm going to demote her out of this position because she's not doing this. And as Bishop Chamberlain was saying, keep your mouth closed. Stop trying to destroy people.
Right.
To build yourself up. Because if God is ready to restore his people back
He's
to
ready.
Their rightful place, then the leaders need to be intact and positioned and in place so the move of God can happen.
Right.
We should be able to trust our leaders.
Right.
We shouldn't be able to see our leaders do stuff that's contrary to the Word of God. We
right.
should hear our leaders say things that is contrary to the Word of God.
But you will see that if they are still wrestling with their own issues.
Amen. I'm glad that you hit on that, because that is so true. It is so true.
Amen. And we have to get to that place where we stop wrestling with our issues and just be real about those issues. All right. Elder Rod is sending, Overseer Rod is sending in questions, and I want to get to another one that he sent in. What are characteristics to look for in order to know whether or not I can trust a leader? Are they like Jezebel? Elder Griffin.
Okay, repeat the question.
What are characteristics to look for in order to know whether or not if I can trust a leader? Are they like Jezebel?
Yes. What are some of the characteristics?
Yes.
I would say, like I said, I mean, it can be so many different characteristics. It can be so many different things. That's why I say you have to know people that is among you. You have to know them that in your daily space or in your weekly space, on Wednesday night, whatever night that you have Bible study, or Sundays. You just have to know people, because it's going to be different people. It's going to be different things through different people, should I say. But the characteristic, like I said, it can be so many different characteristics of a
yeah.
person not being trustworthy. You know, I mean, the backbiting, the lying, the group therapy. You know, you're not in my group today. You know, you're not in my therapy today, but you could be, you know, you could join me tomorrow. You know, just division, you know, causing division, you know, uproar in the ministry. It could be so many different characteristics of different things because they're going to come different ways.
Right.
You know, and if,
wow.
And if a person feel like they can control you, because that's a Jezebel spirit, you know,
mm-hmm.
Anytime that a person thinks that they have full control of you,
and one of the ways, and I wanna, while she's talking about the control, I want to make this clear. One of the ways leaders, and I want to just make it clear, try to control folks is this: they will try to keep a certain group away from another certain group by keeping confusion going.
And that's what I meant by the division. You know, one side of the church don't
yeah.
like this other side of the church, you know, because
right.
she talked about this side of the church with that side of the church, you know. And
right.
then just that's just a form of controlling, you know. Don't want me to be friends with you. Don't want me to call you my brother, you know.
Right.
And always bringing the negativity. You know, nothing positive does leaders have to say about another leader. You know, every time,
right.
you know, she calls or he calls, it's always negative. No, that's not of God. That's what I'm saying. There's so many
right.
different characteristics that they would display or that they can display, you know, and we just got to be careful.
But I think
right.
that I think that you know, we can say what we should look for in the leader. And the thing that I would recommend that we look for in the leader or finding that leader is the anointing. If that leader
Amen.
Is anointed, you can't. Then if that leader is anointed, then that means that leader possessed the Holy Ghost. And you want
right.
to always find someone who is anointed, because if they're anointed, they will be trustworthy, because the Holy Spirit
right.
will teach and guide them into all truth. And why I just hit that point, let me go on and hit it this way. The reason why there are so many untrustworthy leaders in our society today, because they don't have the Holy Ghost, they're not Holy Ghost filled. So, you know,
right.
they're saved. And I know you hit on a few minutes ago, Apostle, people are saved. And a lot of people are saved in this world. Yeah, you're saved. Saved from what? He will save you. Yes, he will save you. But there's a step farther. He said, and you shall receive power after the Holy
after.
Ghost will come upon you. Not before, but after the
after.
Holy Ghost will come upon you. So when the Holy Ghost, he takes full control of you, you now becomes anointed. So, you know, and that's one of the things that, you know, you guys talked on earlier, is that knowing your lane. You know, I can't be apostle. I can't be Apostle House. I can't be you. You know, apostle, you can't be bishop. We have to stay in our own lanes. I can't be evangelist. So if I learn again my place and my position, and I'm full of the Holy Spirit, he will direct my path. He will direct you. And so all of the people who wants to know what do you look for in your leader, you look for the anointing. If the anointing is not there, don't stay. I'm sorry. Don't
That's
stay.
Right. Don't stay. Say that again. Say that again, Bishop. I'm calling you apostle. Say that again.
If the anointing is not there, don't.
What you say? Don't do.
Stay. Don't stay.
Don't stay.
Why? Okay. It's just like this. If I know that somebody's out to do me harm, and I know they don't mean me any good, why am I going to keep running back and forth to them? Why would I keep doing that? Okay, it's same way about your leader. If you know your leader is not Holy Ghost filled or anointed, and you know, because guess what? He's going to do the things of the world. He's going to do what they do, when they do it, how they do it. But why would I keep going back to him if I know he's going to tell what I told him? Why would I keep going back to him if I know he's going to do what everybody else been doing.
Right.
But if I go to this leader and I know this leader is anointed, and the leader's not taking no junk and no mess, don't listen, not shaken by every wind or doctrine that comes his way, but stands on God's word, then what am I going to do? I'm going to stay. But if it's there, why stay?
That's right. That's right. And people of God, stop jumping up, leaving your ministry because your leader chastised you.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
I had to say that tonight.
Amen.
Stop jumping up, leaving your church because your leader chastised you. If your leader don't chastise you, your leader is going to be in trouble with God. If your leader don't chastise you, then your leader is the one that's going to have to give an account for their sin and your sin too. It's your leader's responsibility to tell you the truth. If your leader does not tell you the truth, then your leader causes for you to become a bastard. So now it's really high time for us as people of God to learn that our leader, that we have to sit and we have to take chastisement. I ain't talk about nobody mistreating you. I ain't talk about nobody talking to you like a dog. I ain't talk about nobody treating you like a dog. I'm not talking about nobody taking advantage of you. I'm talking about somebody telling you what's right.
I'm
talking about somebody that's dividing the word properly and telling you what is right. Somebody standing and telling you what is right, and your flesh don't like it, so you get to squirming and want to get up and leave the church because they tell you what's right. Stop that foolishness. Stop that.
Amen.
All right. You got to stay home from church a few Sundays and cool out. Okay. But get up from there and put your clothes on and go on back to church and stop staying at home from church. Talking about you finna find you a new church because pastor preaching on me across the pulpit. He ain't have to say all that. Stop that. Now, and get yourself up and get to the house of the Lord and do what you're supposed to do because he's supposed to chastise you.
Amen.
The word of the Lord is supposed to chastise you. The word of the Lord comes to uncover. It comes to chasten. He chasing those that he loves. All right? So if your leader if you come to church every Sunday and you just love your leader and want to kiss all on their jaws and hug all on them, then you might want to pray and ask God where your leader is because that ain't your leader. If I measure how good of a leader I am by how mad I can make my company. If I don't make them upset sometimes and they want to chop me in my throat, then I'm not doing a very good job at leading them. And they will tell you, they get angry with me. But that, if they're not angry with me sometimes, then I know that I'm not doing a good job.
Amen.
Then I have to beef up that word. Because that word will cut you and it will make you very angry. And that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to uncover. It's supposed to pull up all of that nasty filth and that sin so that you can clean up. Because when he comes back, he's coming back looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. That's what he's coming back looking for. All right? So that's our job.
Amen.
To uncover. All right? We're winding down in time. This has been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful show tonight. I promise you it has been awesome tonight to talk to Bishop and Elder tonight on such a wonderful topic. There's going to be a part two. There has to be because there are still more questions that we did not get to address. There has to be a part two, and I'm going to tell you guys why. Because Elder Beverly has to come back because there are some things that she and I and Bishop have to come back and discuss concerning trust and trust with leaders. And we have to talk about messy leaders, and we have to talk about messy leaders and how messy leaders can actually tear up a church and how it can cause people that are in leadership positions to almost lose their natural mind and to almost want to just give up and throw in the towel and not even want to be a part of a church ever again. We have to talk
Amen.
About that because it actually happens in the body of Christ. And I know you think that because I'm the apostle
or because I'm the bishop or because I'm the elder that I'm so saved that I don't have these type issues. But how about the devil lied to you? These type things happen in the hierarchy of the church. But so many times people are so sanctimonious that they don't talk about the real issues of the church. But this season on Real Talk with Darian A. House, we are going to uncover the real issues of the church. And so I promise you, if you will stay tuned to Real Talk with Darian A. House, you are going to learn some things. You are going to be enlightened as well as you are going to grow, because we are going to uncover the real issues that have taken place right in the church. All right? I want to announce to you that if you would like to sow into this wonderful broadcast that we do with Real Talk, for it takes money to do this, you can do so at alabasterboxcm.org. Again, it is alabasterboxcm.org. I want to thank my guest tonight, Bishop Chris Chamberlain. Bishop, where is your church? Where can we find you? How can we visit you?
We are in House, Mississippi. We are a few miles from Philadelphia, Mississippi. So we're in House, Mississippi, 12190 Road 4300, Union, Mississippi. So we invite you guys, if you have opportunity to come by and share with us. Our services start at 9:30 every Sunday. Our Bible class is on Wednesday nights now at 6 p.m. So we invite everybody to come out, and if you can come, just stop in and say hello to us.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and be a part of the show tonight. Elder Beverly Griffin, who is your pastor, and how can we come and visit you? Where are you located?
My pastor is Apostle Elias Allen. We are at Total Truth Praise and Worship Center here in Meridian, Mississippi. The address is 4905 West Gate Hills Drive. However, we do have church on Saturday mornings, which is our morning glory service from 11 o'clock a.m. We have Bible study every Wednesday night beginning at 6:30. So if you're in the Meridian area and you would like to get you some Holy Ghost-filled worship service, we invite you to Total Truth Praise and Worship Center. Elias Allen is my pastor.
Amen. Amen. And Apostle Elias Allen is my apostle, you guys. So I'm telling you, you can join them there. And we are having our first Fifth Sunday gathering here in Pensacola, Florida, at Alabaster Box at 1072 Sawyer Street, Pensacola, Florida. 1072 Sawyer Street, Pensacola, Florida. Zip code is 32534. We will be doing that this fifth Sunday at 12 o'clock, and you are welcome to come and join us. If you cannot make it to the city, you can join us at alabasterboxcm.org, where we will live stream the services. You can join us by live stream and join us there. We would love, love, love to have you. Again, we will be back here next week at the same time to do another live episode of Real Talk with Darian A. House. As always, we want to end the show with prayer. Thank you all again, Elder Beverly and Bishop, for joining me tonight for the
Amen.
First
God
show of
you.
Season 3. Bless you both, and I love you for life.
Love
God,
you.
We thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you for this day that we've never seen before with brand-new graces and mercies. You've allowed us to awake with our right minds, with the use and activity of our limbs, able to move and have our being. God, we thank you for it today. And God, we ask you in the name of Jesus to forgive us for anything that we said, done, or thought that was not like you. God, we thank you now that you will wrap this show in your glory and that you will cause it to, every time it's heard, God, to touch somebody's life, to touch somebody's heart, God, that they will be able to hear something that will touch their spirit or prick their spirit and cause change to happen. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And we come against every demonic spirit that would attack the minds and bodies of the people. God, we come against every demonic spirit that would attack the mind and bodies of leaders. God, every demonic spirit that would attack the minds and bodies of your congregants, God, that we would come together and work together. God, for the main thing that we need to concentrate on now are the gathering of the souls, God, the gathering of the souls in these last and evil days. And God, we thank you now that you will turn our hearts back to you and that you will bring us back into the place of working together, God, for the gathering of the souls. We thank you. We honor you. We give you the glory and all of the praise. God, thank you for healing, for delivering, and setting free through these words that this woman of God and this man of God have spoken tonight, and we'll give you all of the praise and all of the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to go out with music. And again, thank you, Elder Beverly, and thank you to everybody that joined us tonight to make this show what it has been. We love you, and we hope you will join us again next week.
good. We love you, Bishop. Forget. Be grateful. This is why he says, for it. You ought to clap your hands and say, everything is alright.
Want to hear some of your favorite gospel artists sing live on the spot? Then visit GospelSinginOnTheSpot.com. There you will hear artists like Zael, Ernest Hughes, Dwayne Woods, and Vicky Winans. Visit GospelSinginOnTheSpot.com today.
Who made the mountains? Who made the trees? And who sent the rain when the earth was dry? Oh, somebody bigger than you and I. The flowers bloom in the spring, and who wrote the songs for the robin to sing? And tell me, who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. See, I was lost in a world full of nothing, and I was in despair with no my own and no place to call my home. But the Master of the sea, Savior, my despairing cry, and he lifted me, and he lifted me. And who made the river flow out to the sea? Oh, who sent the rain in the starry sky? Oh, his name is